Good morning and greetings of love to all of you in the name of Jesus. It's a privilege to be here, especially in this community, to see Ralph and Sarah Ann. My wife Ruth is a sister to Sarah Ann, so just so you, sometimes when speakers come visit our church, I have a dissonance the whole way through the service because I don't know anything about them, so I thought I would straighten that out for you a little bit right from the start. We have four sons. Riley is with us. He's 13. Brad's at home, 27. And Larry and Travis are married. Our second son, Larry, lost his wife of almost 2 years in 2019 in a car accident. And he's remarried now. And they have two beautiful children. We have four grandchildren all together. That same year, in 2019, our oldest son, Travis, was diagnosed with cancer. And by the fall of that year, he nearly passed away. But by a miracle of God and help of a few good doctors, he's well today. So we thank the Lord for that. And I know that some of you here, I'm sure some of you have had difficulties or are having difficulties in your lives. And I just want to extend my peace to you through Jesus. And, you know, I was thinking about, I was thinking about a lot of things this morning before I came. Murray was very kind this morning. He didn't tell you that when he first asked if I would preach this morning, I said no. And then when I saw two factors played into me changing my mind, the one was when I saw his kind face when he was sitting up here at the wedding, I thought, wow, that was kind of mean. And then also, there's actually our deacon's son-in-law is preaching at home, and so that pushes, you know, my next time preaching at home back at the Sunday. And I thought of sending him a message and thanking him for making it difficult to say no. So, but I, after I talked to Mary, we worked something out, and I decided to do it after all. But then I was thinking about, you know, life, just why the difficulties? Why does God allow difficulties? Why does he allow suffering and pain in our lives? Isn't he in control of all of that, too? And he is. And I thought this morning, this whole morning was like, seemed like it was all geared around the sermon. Matt talked about Job, and I thought of Job's words this morning when, after all his difficulties and his wife encouraged him to curse God and die, and then he said in, I didn't write the reference. Yes, I did. Job 2 in verse 10, he says, "What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" And last Sunday in our Sunday school lesson at home, I think one of the reasons that God allows difficulties, and I really thought about that last Sunday, was in Deuteronomy 8, we were studying. I want to read a couple of verses. He says in Deuteronomy 8, verse 11 through 14, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God." And then in verse 19 and 20 he says, "And it shall be, if thou do at all, forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish as the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face. So shall ye perish because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God." I think that's one of the reasons that God allows difficulties in our lives. He doesn't want us to have it so easy that we forget him. That's not even what the sermon's about yet. Don't worry, I don't tend to have long sermons. My sermon this morning is titled, Consumer or Producer? Here in the United States of America, we live in a consumer environment. The United States of America comprises 5% of the world's population, but we consume 25% of the world's resources. 5% of us are consuming 25% of the world's resources. And by consuming, I mean anything that you buy or use that doesn't benefit anyone else. You're the end user. You buy it, consume it, and that's it. You don't produce something else out of it. It's a person or thing that eats or consumes some of us. Something, I'm sorry. Most of us have grown up in an environment now, because we've had this for a few generations, we live in an environment now where we almost feel entitled to it. We don't even think about if we're not careful. By entitled, I mean we actually believe that we are inherently deserving of our privileges or any special treatment that we have. Take, for example, the welfare system in America. It began with the Social Security Act of 1935, right on the tail end of Depression. And it was a good thing. It was meant to help elderly people, dependent children, and the blind, three classes of people. People that, right at the tail end of the Depression, if they were starving, couldn't do anything about it. But look at what that welfare system means today. I'm not here to bring up any political issues, but 21% of the U.S. population now is depending on government programs for part or all of their existence. 21%, so that's like almost one-fourth of you here this morning would be depending on the rest of the church for your food, clothes, and medical assistance, everything you need. I'm only telling you that to help us understand the environment that we've grown up in, and I know that that's not our general mentality as Mennonites and not as your congregation here this morning. You're not, that's not your mentality, but the environment that we grow up in does affect us to some degree or another, and we need to be aware of that. And I'm telling you these things this morning because the Lord's been showing me the extent that I've become a consumer instead of a producer. And so I'm just passing on to you what I need for myself. We tend to be consumers instead of producers, takers instead of giving. We consume music, media, finances, relationships, commitments, and a host of other things at an unprecedented rate. And I say that we consume these things because a lot of even our relationships and commitments are made with the thought of what's in it for me instead of what can I give, what can I put into a relationship or the commitment that I'm making. And it's costing us more than we realize, I believe, because we've grown up accustomed to it. We consume more food than we can properly put to use, more love than we're willing to give, and more attention than any generation before. We've even convinced ourselves that if we don't reward ourselves with extravagant vacations, expensive properties, and plenty of me time, we're deprived of something that we rightfully deserve. Aaron Lapp, I just started recently reading, after I was thinking about this, I started reading his book called The Mystery of Death and Beyond. I don't know how many of you read that book, and I apologize. I have to look it up because I had my son take pictures of three pages for me yesterday because there's some interesting statements that Aaron makes on there that I want to pass on to you. He's talking about, so the title of the book is The Mystery of Death and Beyond. So what does this have to do with death? But he's talking about the history of the Mennonite, of the Mennonites. And then he talks about the Depression time and 1940, in the early 40s when the Second World War hit our economy. And then he says, I give this historic background, and I'm quoting his book, because of its importance in better understanding and appreciating where we are here today. Here now in 2020, when he wrote the book 5 years ago, we are halfway through a third generation of a sustained middle class of a larger population. The problem is, we think it is our due. It has become an entitlement, and few people can fully appreciate an entitlement. And yeah, I'm almost 60. Technology doesn't always do what I want it to. You know, I thought our Sunday school really was interesting too in relation to what I've been thinking about. And we talked about, you know, changes over the years and how that affects us and the changes we have to make. I had some more I wanted to read, but I can't find it anymore now. So that's okay. But he talks then about, he gave 10 points of things that he was thinking about that we've become accustomed to that need to stay fresh in our minds. And I'm probably not going to be able to remember them all, but his first point was salvation, the gift of salvation. And I'm a second generation in a family that came from, that was, my dad was the first in his, like his grandpa and his great-grandpa were believers, but not to the extent I believe that they understood the assurance of salvation. And my dad was the first one in that line that was born again and understood clearly the significance of salvation, I think. And now I'm next generation. So what's third generation going to look like, and fourth generation and fifth generation? Can we maintain that wonder of salvation? He had a list of things, and one thing that we've been talking about as a brotherhood at home that's really become a big deal is, of course, the cost of medical expenses these days, and we have a hospital program, and we're dissatisfied with it now because the price is going up and it seems like it's hardly covering, and so we're thinking of switching to something else, and that one only covers 20%, 80%, so we have to pay the first 20%, and that could be a hardship. So now we're talking about, should the church commit to paying 10%, and that way we only have 10% to cover. And I hope we're not becoming dependent on a system. I guess that's where I'm coming to. If we're not careful, our children are going to grow up and think it's all just normal. And honestly, it probably is very normal for us to consume rather than produce. But it's called selfishness too. I just want to read to you from Luke 12 several verses. I'm going to be in the New Living Translation. And this is when Jesus was with his disciples, and he said to them, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear, for life is more than food and your body more than clothing. Look at the ravens, they don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for God feeds them, and you are far more valuable to him than any birds. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow. He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Now, don't be concerned about what to eat, what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. But your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it, and no moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. So how are we doing this morning? How are we doing in relationships? Are you in a relationship for what it benefits you? Or for what you can give? Think about your marriage, your church, your family, whether you're young folks at home or married, have children. What does your relationship to your family look like? Are you there for the benefits, or are you giving, contributing to that? What about your friends? Do you need your friends so they can support you, or are you there to support your friends? It's both, but I think sometimes our focus comes so much on ourselves. What about your job? Are you there in it? Are you in it for what you can get out of it? Or are you in it because you truly want to bless? Are you hoping to get a boost for yourself and happy as long as it just benefits you? How are we doing with our time? Are we soaking up media at the expense of the people around us that would benefit from our attention? And whose input we would benefit from? I think young parents have a tremendous responsibility ahead of you with all the technology. It's probably because I'm older now and I think, wow, all these changes. But our children are growing up, your children, ours too, our younger ones especially, are growing up with gadgets and affluence at their fingertips. And it's been that way for a few generations, and we kind of assume that it's going to be that way, but it might not. Let's be careful. Let's keep the... Well, I guess first of all, I would say, let's be grateful. Let's be grateful and think about the advantages that we have, but also careful with them. Our children are growing up thinking it's normal to have gadgets and money at their fingertips. Are we going to be able to continue showing them the true meanings of life? Do we have time to help someone or visit someone? The widows, the sick, people that just need help? Frolics. Let's help each other in frolics. I don't know. Maybe you guys do better with that here than we do. But there for a little bit, we decided, okay, yeah, we should do more of that. And I think we had about 3 frolics in 6 months' time, and now it's been a year. Kind of, again, aren't doing it. Do we have time to help someone or visit them, or do we just have to make that extra dollar, either because we constantly have one more thing that we want to get, or maybe we're making payments on what we already got? And if we get a bonus income, do we spend it on ourselves? What if you made that extra $1,000 this week because God entrusted it to you because someone needs it, and you consumed it on yourself? And I'm talking to myself, I really am. Haggai 1, and I'm not taking this out of its proper context, God was unhappy with these people because his house was in shambles. It needed repairs, and they were spending all their money on expensive houses. But what about us as the hands and feet of Jesus to the people around us? What does that look like to them, the way we live, the way I'm living, And I want us to just think seriously about our opportunities. Here's what God was saying to them in Haggai 1, verses 2 through 11. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. The people are saying, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much, but harvest little. You eat, but are not satisfied. You drink, but are still thirsty. You put on clothes, but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets with holes. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. Look at what's happening to you. Now go into the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You hoped for rich harvests, but they were poor. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, while all of you are busy building your own fine houses. It's because of you that the heavens withhold the dew and the earth produces no crops. I have called for a drought on your fields and hills, a drought to wither the grain and grapes and olive trees and all your other crops, a drought to starve you and your livestock and to ruin everything you have worked so hard to get. But he says, go to the hills and bring down timber and rebuild my house. And I just want us to think about the opportunities around us. Let's go out this week and do something for somebody else and just reap those benefits. We won't do it with that in mind, but we will reap those benefits. And God wants to bless us. I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Let's have an awareness of the abundance that God wants to give us so we can bless others, and even more so, the abundance that he will give us as we bless others. What about our spiritual abundance? Have we maintained the wonder of it all, the wonder of salvation, the wonder of God's love, his mercy? Being third and fourth generation believers, have we maintained the amazing awareness of our salvation, the amazing privilege of being a part of the family of God? You have an awesome privilege here this morning, and I looked at your mailbox set up back there this morning, and there's 60 boxes back there, I think. Was it 50? Is it 60? Anyway, I had counted them. Now I don't want to say it wrong. I think it was 60. At home at our church, the last year and a half have been the most difficult years of my church life since I was a little boy growing up. I don't know what I missed before I was 20. But church life doesn't have to be that difficult. And forgiveness, like I think Brother David talked about it at the wedding the other night. Forgiveness is key. Keep forgiving, keep loving. It'll be amazing. Romans 8:12. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father or Daddy God. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, heirs together with Jesus. We are heirs together with Christ. We are heirs of God's glory. I think in the King James Version it says joint heirs with Christ. I often thought, that's super amazing that in the scriptures it considers us brothers or family of Christ as we're sons and daughters of God, sons of God. It's an amazing privilege. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Matthew 16. Verses 24 to 27. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father and with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Are we demonstrating to our children our amazing gratitude by living productive lives for the kingdom of God? Are we inspiring them to greater service for God? Or are we going to become consumers and keep all these amazing benefits for ourselves and our children? Jesus' final words to his disciples, Matthew 28, verse 18 and through 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And we love that promise. Be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. But what if it's attached as a condition to what he just said, the instructions he just gave? Will we reap that blessing? Are we going to be consumers or producers, givers or takers? And God, give us whatever it is that we need to keep our eyes open to the amazing opportunities we have in 2025. I just want you to be challenged in that way, and I certainly accept that challenge for myself. Can we bow our heads for prayer?